Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
About all of the week we just had, and we think, God, I know I disappointed you. I know that there were times I failed you this week. And the enemy starts to work on our minds, and it's like, God, I don't even deserve to be in your presence. Can I just tell you the truth? You're right where you should be. When you come to the point where you say, God, I don't deserve, you're right where you should be, because the truth is none of us deserve his love or his mercy. None of us do. We're right where God wants us when we finally come to the place where we say, it's not about me. Are you awake? I just want to make sure y'all are in touch here. It's not about me. It's not about whether I'm worthy. It's about whether he's worthy. And the Bible says that in Revelation chapter 6, it says that the angels are shouting before the throne. Get this. They are shouting, holy, holy, holy is the King. Holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. And the Bible says the saints of God, those of us who have stepped into eternity, those who have actually come into the presence of God, are joining the angels with this song that says, worthy is the Lamb. I mean, seriously, are we awake this morning? What will you do when you actually see, bring the house lights up just for a second. What will you do? Because this isn't about us. This is about the King. We're all worried about presidents and all the, you know, what's the president going to do this week? What's he going to tweet this week? Why do you worry about the president? We have a King. I said we have a King. The president tweets. He doesn't even know your name. Your King knows your name. He called out your name before the Father in intercession this week. The King knows your name. It's an amazing thing to me. This, you know, we get so caught up with the things of this world. Jesus said, don't do that. He said, get caught up with me, because I know you. I am personally devoted to you, not just as King, but as King of kings and Lord above every Lord. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is King. He is Lord. And we get so caught up with that stuff, and we get, here's the truth. Here's the, you know, we think we have presidential, you know, some levels of government narcissism. If you think that, we all have that. At some level, y'all have Facebook? Anybody here have Facebook? Don't we get on there and want to make sure everybody knows? We did this week. Because, you know, everybody wants to know about my life. Right? And I'm not saying anything. There's some level of we all do that. This week at St. Charles River Church, we're doing this. We tweet that stuff. We let you know. Well, we call it communication. We call it communication. The truth is, don't you want to know about me every time I go to Dearburg's? Don't you want to see? Wait a minute. Bigger. Don't you want to see me? The selfies. I wonder how many of us are actually, no judgment. I'm having fun with you. I wonder how many times we go, God, give me your selfie. Yeah, how about when I see my selfie, let me get myself on here. Do I see Jesus? Or do I see Barry? Because there's a whole lot of Barry going on. Wait a minute. There's a whole lot of Barry going on. I wonder how much of it's Jesus that's going on. Because you see, I'm going to either make my life about Him. This song says it all. We're going to go back into that. It's a powerful song. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God. Because here's the truth. Either I'm God of my life, or Jesus is. And the Bible says a man cannot serve two masters. So I'm either living about me, or I'm living about the King. Which one will you choose? We say yes, Lord, and we invite Your Spirit to be so amazingly among us today. And every believer said, amen. Amen. Okay, y'all ready to get into the Word? Y'all ready? Get into the Word. Great. We are starting a new series this morning. It is called, y'all have a bulletin? You have a bulletin? What's it called? Just walk across the room. Just walk across. That's it. Point at the screen. It's on the screen, Barry, for crying out loud. Just walk across the room. It is. It's just that simple. Last week, the great celebration of Easter, we talked about the greatest message ever. You and I have the greatest message ever. It's called the gospel. What's it actually mean? The good news. We actually have the good news. Well, today I want to talk to you under that series. It's the first of 4 weeks of a series called Just Walk Across the Room. It's actually called this message. We're going to start with the single greatest gift ever. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 4. And I want to talk with you about the single greatest gift and the single greatest message ever. Yeah, we won't play that yet, guys. Hold that. There you go. Back that up. If you can, just take it back. I'll tell you when to play that here in just a minute. So as you're turning to Colossians chapter 4, we're going to put it on the screen. Here you go. That's where he was going with that. Colossians chapter 4. Let me just kind of give you a setup here. Here's Jesus. I mean, this is the story. It's Colossians. Paul is writing from a jail. He's actually in chains today as he's writing this letter. And it's an amazing emotional plea to actually recognize this whole importance of this gospel thing. More importantly than saying the gospel, this is about the fact that this important message of the gospel, we've got to get this out there. And so Paul is actually giving instruction to followers from jail on how to take the message out to people. And he says, and I'm going to start in verse 2, chapter 4. He says, devote yourself to prayer. First of all, if you're starting any other place than prayer every day, if your day starts out without a conversation with the one who will bless your day, we're missing the most important element of the day. You got a special girl in your life? How many of you have a special girl in your life? Raise your hand. You got a special girl in your life. How many of you got a special guy in your life? Raise your hand. You got a special guy in your life. Well, some guys raised their hand and their wife didn't raise their hand. So I'm just kind of curious about that moment. I won't tell you who, but you got a special person in your life. How would they like it if you rolled out of bed, never acknowledged them with a kiss, or you never acknowledged them with good morning? You just rolled out of bed and you leave the house. No communication, no affection, no intimacy of expression of intimacy in the relationship. Wouldn't they look at you and say, actually what they do is, hey, what's the deal? And so that's where Paul is saying, okay, here's the deal. Devote yourselves to prayer. In other words, it's not saying a prayer that Paul is talking about. He's talking about having conversation with the Creator. He's talking about having conversation with your Master, Jesus, this one that we give our lives to. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. Now he's talking attitude. Y'all wake up cranky? Don't wives shake their head at their husband. Don't do that. Be watchful and thankful. In other words, be aware and be thankful, and pray for us too. It says, may God open a door. Now listen, now Paul's talking about the harvest. Paul is actually talking about the harvest. He said, now here's the priority. He says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. He's in prison and he's wanting God to open a door that he can give Jesus away. Yes. They get that. He didn't say open a door to get us out of here. He said, open a door that we can give them. Do y'all know the story about the soldier in the jail that got saved? You know, he came to Christ as a result of Paul being in them. You know, they had a revival in this prison. It's an amazing story. He said, so just be praying that God will open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. That's how I know he's in chains. He says that right there. He says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Again, he's not saying, pray that I get out of here. He's saying, wherever I am, this is the writer who said, I have learned to be content in any and every situation. So whether he's in prison or in the middle of a shipwreck, he was shipwrecked three times, nearly lost his life. No matter where I am, I have learned to be content because that is the will of God concerning me for that moment. Y'all with me? Y'all are with me? Okay, we're going to go somewhere with this. He said, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. I wonder how many restaurants you went in this week. How many restaurants I go in. I wonder how many times we were wondering or very cognizant. He said, be aware and prayerful of how we treat people. How did we treat the server that week? We all know Cracker Barrel is like my second office. It's actually kind of my first office. And when y'all go in there with me, what I tell you is, remember something, don't go with me to Cracker Barrel unless you're going to bless them with a good tip. Yeah, I mean, if you've ever been to Cracker Barrel with me, you know what I'm talking about. Because they're going to remember something. They're not going to remember the words about Jesus or the life about Jesus outside of you bless them with a tip. Now you got their ear. Because you see, you're blessing their family. That's what you're doing. You're putting tools in their hands to bless their family, to feed their family, to pay their bills. And so here we go. He says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. In other words, always be aware of the conversations and the actions that you have and the expressions that you have. Have you ever just sat in an airport and watched people's expressions? I have been in airports so many times that, and I literally have, I know I'm about to fall here. I've sat for hours in airports at times and I've watched expressions of people. I've watched families fight. I've watched couples break up. And I don't hear a word they're saying. It's their expression. It's totally their expression. And I mean, I've seen women face to face with the guy in their life and they usually have a ring on their hand. Sometimes they don't. It doesn't matter to me. But they're giving the guy the what for. And the guy is usually like, what did I do wrong? I mean, have you seen the emoji? That's where that came from. That is a man. I want you to know that is a man. It says, be aware of these things. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt. In other words, life-giving. Life-giving salt. Make sure our words are salty. So that you may know how to answer everyone who comes up to you and says, what's the deal with you? What's the deal with you? Why are you happy? If you've never been accused of always being happy, we might ought to talk about Jesus a little more. Think about that. If you're known as being the grouch in the room, maybe we ought to talk about Jesus just a little more. Because remember what we talked about? It's a whole lot more of Jesus and a whole lot less of me. That's the goal here. Every day. By the way, none of us will get there until the day we step out of this world. Then it'll be all about him, right? Right. Okay, so let me just tell you. What Paul is writing to us is instruction on how to reach people for the cause of Christ. It's not about witnessing. I love that whole phrase that we were taught in the 60s and the 70s. You got to go out and witness. No, you don't. You have to live a witness. There's a big difference in praying, saying a prayer. I want to say a prayer. There's a big difference in saying a prayer and praying. Y'all know that, right? Well, there's a big difference in living a witness and going out and witnessing. You know what I've seen people do with, you need to witness to people? You're going to hell! That's a witness. Now, that'll make people want to follow you. How about, here's the truth. We have, this is what Paul is addressing here. The single greatest gift ever is Jesus. And if we live the Jesus life, or the Christ life as we call it here at SCRC, if we're living the Christ life, you know what that is? I don't think I have to go too far to tell you what that is. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. It goes on to say, this is how all men will know that you're my disciples by the way you love one another. This is how people will say, Girl, what is it about you that's different? You're always so kind. You're always so different. Well, what is that? Well, his name is Jesus. I'm a whole lot less of me, and today I'm a whole lot more of Jesus than what I ever used to be. Tomorrow I hope to be a whole lot less of me more, and a whole lot more of Jesus more. And that's the message. But we have this, as I said last week, the single greatest message ever, the message of hope, the message that there is a greater tomorrow than there is today. And because if Christ is in my tomorrow, it can be greater than today. That's a great message. But the single greatest gift ever, the gift of Jesus Christ on the cross, you and I have that ability to give that. And there's no one, I just think like this, there's no one I'd rather get the example from. I mean, I've got great men in my life. My dad is like Jesus with skin on. I've been blessed with a great set of parents. I really have. Gina's mom and dad, great parents. Gail taught me so much about loving people. He taught me how to be a great father-in-law. Gail was just this godly man. You know, I revered him. But if I want to get an example of how to go to people and love on people, I'm going to go to Jesus. Because, he was the example, the perfect example of what it looks like to go into all the world and to love on people and not condemn people. Remember the young lady that was caught in the act of adultery? They bring, you know, these men bring this woman caught in the act of adultery, and Jesus kneels down and he's starting to write in the dirt. And by the way, Jesus never said she didn't do that. He never once said that what they accused her of, but you notice they didn't bring the man. And Jesus starts writing in the dirt. And we don't know what he wrote. But all of a sudden, Jesus sets the example of how to handle uncomfortable situations. And he didn't condemn her. And in fact, what he's doing is writing in the dirt. And as he's writing in the dirt, he draws with his finger. He's drawing something. It may have been the guy's name she was with last night. Or the names of these guys that she was with in the last week. I don't know. I'm just speculating because I'm being a little extra biblical here. I don't know what he was writing, but as he's writing in the dirt, he says, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And one by one, these men started leaving until it was just the two of them left. And then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Jesus is the ultimate example. Let me ask you this. If you were wanting to learn how to play golf, shout me some names. If you were really wanting to learn how to play golf, who would you, if you had one chance to get with one pro, who would you want to be with today? Just some tips. Jack Nicholson. I was going to say, isn't he an actor? Phil Nicholson, okay. Tiger? Wouldn't you want to be hanging? First of all, I like Tiger. I would probably pick Tiger. If I was going after how to be a great golfer, I'd probably want to set in and get in some Tiger time out on a golf course, right? Now, if I was wanting to learn how to be a quarterback, I'm sorry, Jimmy. It wouldn't be Roger Staubach. It would probably be Terry Bradshaw. Tom Brady, who's he? Who is Tom Brady? It would probably be Terry Bradshaw. Seriously. Four Super Bowl rings. Is it right? Pastor Mike? Four. Thank you. Hold on. That's all right. I don't know about Tom Brady. Anyway. So here's the thing. If I wanted to learn how to be a great quarterback, I would go take lessons from the great quarterback. If I want to be a great golfer, wouldn't I go to Tiger and take lessons from him? Now, if I wanted to learn how to be a great linebacker and how to take Terry Bradshaw down, I would call Al Washington. Al Washington is sitting right here, and he did tackle Terry Bradshaw in the NFL as a New York Jet. Would you welcome Al and Keisha, our friends from the Cruise? Al, come up here for a sec. Come up here. Come up here, buddy. Come up here. Pastor Mike, come up here. I want you to come up here. Here we go. Here you go. I got Terry Bradshaw here. I got Terry standing right here. I was standing right over there. I got Terry Bradshaw. This is Al Washington, the Ohio State University. Yes. Have a seat or stand right here. Now, what I want Al to do is display what he did to Terry Bradshaw that day. Full speed. Don't do it until. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. Give him a hand, guys. Give him a hand. I just wanted to see what it looked like. By the way, Al told me one time, if you know what? He said, here, I had a hold of Earl Campbell's thigh one time. Huh? He said he had a hold. He had his arms all the way around Earl Campbell's thigh one time from the Houston Oilers. He said he those were how big? Bigger than your waist. He said it was like a tree stump dragging you down the high, down the field. That's just one thigh. We met Al and Keisha on a cruise this last year, and I'm telling you, have you ever just connected with somebody relationally that quick? We loved these guys immediately. Al came up to me on the ship. I was doing a sun god thing, small g. I was trying to get some tan on this white skin, you know? And so Al and Keisha, they parked next to us. They're at the ledge near the water on the top deck. And Al walks over to me and he said, Barry, can I just ask you a question? I said, yeah. He said, did you ever feel like God put you somewhere? You remember this? Where God put you somewhere to meet someone you would never have met if you hadn't been there. I said, Al, that's what Gina and I said about you and Keisha just earlier today. That was a God moment. That's why Paul was saying, always be aware, always be cognizant. We didn't know we would meet these two amazing, now very precious friends. They've spent the weekend with us, and I'm going to miss them so much when they leave this afternoon. Gina and I love these guys dearly. But it's those kind of moments that we're to be aware of. And man, Al and Keisha both, they're saying they're going on a mission trip with us to Panama. So we're all in. We adopt you in Jesus' name right here at SCRC. So let me just tell you, the reason I gave that example is because, you see, the message we have the privilege of just walking across the room sometimes. Al and Keisha drove 6 hours into our world. Get that picture? They really only spent time with us on a ship. They didn't know who we really were. They had no clue, but they spent 6 hours in a car, invested an entire weekend of their lifetime to come and be with us because they loved us. We knew, we felt that, and we love them as well. I want to play a video for you. I think it's a very important video. The video is from Bill Hypels. Bill Hypels actually pastors a church up in near Chicago. That's what we have the greatest ability to give away, is the message and the hope. And the story of the single greatest gift ever. Get this picture. This is what Paul said. Get this. It's as easy as walking across a room. It's as easy as walking across a soccer field when you see a coach of your children picking up the soccer balls. It's as easy as, and it's not a, listen, if it has to do with serving the best for you, that's called manipulation. But if it has to do with real love, because you want to help this dude pick the soccer balls up, first of all, he needs help, or she needs help. Sometimes it's a matter of actually becoming actually relevant in people's lives and getting beyond the thing that I have to witness to somebody. No. Just go be a witness. Go. I just picture Jesus picking the soccer balls up, don't you? That's where he went. He helped us. Hey, throw your nets on that side of the ship. I know you did already. Throw them over again. Put them there again. And then they had so many fish, the nets were breaking. Do you remember the stories? It was time after time. He lived the witness that he loved them. And I look at moments like that, and I think about this. Jesus loved you and me so much, he comes all the way across the cosmos, so to speak, that he created, by the way. He's still creating that, by the way, just so we all get that. He comes all the way across this universe, and he comes down and he limits himself. He comes into our world, and he comes through this birth canal, through the womb of a woman, through a birth canal, and he limits himself. He walks across the universe, so to speak. He comes into our lives and becomes relevant to us, lives 30 years before his ministry begins. He's a carpenter's son. He can talk carpentry. He can do carpentry. He's relevant to the world he lived in. And then his love changed the entire world. His message of 3 years transformed the world, and we're still talking about it today. It's an amazing thing. It really is. I think of this. When we met Al and Keisha on this ship, they're believers. They already know Christ. They already have a love for God and a love for people. But all of a sudden, it just hit me this morning. They came all the way out of their world into our world, and they didn't have to. Jesus didn't have to. But the Bible says this, most simple scripture ever, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, so that whosoever believeth in him, they'll not have to perish, but they'll have eternal life. Here's the deal. God so loved, it compelled him to do something about it. Do we love people? The question is this, do we love people enough, so much, that we are compelled to do something about their lives? Bow your heads with me for just a moment. I want to ask you something. Number one, I want to deal with this first. Nobody's looking around. If you need Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, you want to today commit as the music is playing, if you want to today just surrender your life to Christ. You believe in him. You just know though today, God is calling you for an all out commitment to Christ. You've been in church. You've done those things in the past. You've loved God. But today you can honestly say, as I look in the mirror, when I look in the selfie, I see a little more of me than I do of Christ. And in the days and the weeks and the years ahead, I'd love to see a lot more Jesus. So I want to commit my life wholly and completely over to Christ. If that's you, raise your hand. And I'm not going to embarrass you. Yes, I see hands all over this room. Thank you. Thank you. I see hands all over this room. At least 20, 25 hands in this room. You can pull them back down. I want to pray with you because today is the day that your life can change. It's a day that you can look back on and say, it wasn't about SCRC, it was about that Christ revealed a side of him to me that maybe I have never seen before, and maybe he revealed a side of me that I never knew had to go. But today, we're going to trust that that's what he's doing in your life. So I want everyone in this room to pray this prayer with me as the music plays. I want everybody to just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, everyone in this room, pray with me. Heavenly Father, today I confess that I believe in you as Jesus, as Lord and Master of my life. I confess to you that as of today, there's been a whole lot more of me than there has been of you. I'm asking you to forgive me and come into my life completely. I surrender my life to you today, wholly and completely. Be my Lord and my Savior. As of today, Lord, I will serve you in the powerful name of Jesus. Give the Lord a huge hand, guys. Give the Lord a huge hand. Let me tell you something. If you did that today for the first time, the Bible says the angels in heaven are celebrating. Did you know that? There's a party in heaven going on.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.